Hello, OMT3701 students. In this podcast, I address project crashing, which is covered in Chapter 7 of your study guide and Section 13.4 in the 10th edition or Section 12.4 in the 11th edition of your prescribed book. Keep your study guide and prescribed book at hand. In OMT2601, you were introduced to the Critical Path Method, or CPM, as a project management technique. Remember, CPM is a deterministic method as it assumes that the activity times are known with certainty. Revise the first chapter of Chapter 13 or Chapter 12 in Rendersteen and Hanna to make sure you still know how to apply CPM and to find the critical path and completion time. CPM provides the option to reduce the project completion time. The process is called project crashing. The crash time is the shortest possible activity time requiring additional resources leading to additional cost, which is called crash cost. The four steps of project crashing is given at the bottom of page 583 in the 10th edition or page 499 in the 11th edition of Rendersteen and Hanna. Make sure you know these steps and that you can apply them. The first step is to find the normal critical path and identify the critical activities. You should not have any problems with this as you have covered this in OMT2601. The second step is to calculate the crash cost per time period. We assume the crash cost to be linear. That means that the crash cost for each time period is exactly the same. The third step is to select the critical activity with the smallest crash cost per time period. In this step, we only look at the critical activities. If you crash a non-critical activity, it will not reduce the project completion time. Your prescribed book says you crash the selected activity to the maximum possible or until you have reached the deadline. Be careful, yeah. Rather crash the selected critical activity only to the minimum slack calculated for the non-critical activities. This way you will ensure that you do not miss it if a non-critical path becomes critical. To show you what I mean, have a look at the example on page 584 in the 10th edition or page 500 in the 11th edition of Rendersteen and Hanna. Let's say we want to reduce the project time by 2 weeks. In this example, the critical path is A, C, E, G, H. You can see that from the table 13.9 or 12.9. If you look at the crash cost per week for the critical activities in the table, you see that the activities A, C, and E have all the smallest crash cost per week of $1,000. So you can choose any one of the three activities to crash. In the book, they've chosen activity A and crashed it by 1 week, which is the maximum possible. The same applies to activity C. The maximum you can crash C is 1 week. Now look at activity E. The maximum you can crash it is 2 weeks, which is exactly the time reduction that you need. If you do crash activity E by 2 weeks, your crash cost will be 2 times $1,000, which is $2,000. But the project time will not be reduced by 2 weeks. It will only be reduced by 1 week. Why? Because after 1 week, you have an additional critical path. Not only do you have the critical path A, C, E, G, H, you also have B, D, G, and H as a critical path. Try it and see for yourself. Change the activity of E from 4 to 3 weeks and recalculate all the earliest and latest times of the project. You will find that you now have the two critical paths. So how can you ensure that you do not miss a new critical path? By crashing the selected critical activity only to the minimum slack calculated for the non-critical activities. Look at table 13.3 or 12.3 where the slack for all the activities are shown. Remember, the slack is zero for all the critical activities. So have a look at all the non-zero slack values. These will be the slack values for the non-critical activities. Find the minimum value. In this case, it is 1. Now you know you cannot crash any critical activity by more than 1 week at a time. Crash the project by 1 week at a time and check for new critical paths, which is the last of the 4 steps. Also remember, if you have more than 1 critical path, you have to crash all the critical paths to reduce the overall project time. Try to find an activity which is common to all the critical paths and crash that activity. If there is no common activity, you will have to crash at least 2 activities to reduce the project time. In the example, G and H are common activities, with G having the lowest crash cost per week. So, we can crash G by 1 week at a cost of $2,000. The total additional cost to reduce the project by 2 weeks is $3,000. $1,000 for activity E, or A or B, and $2,000 for activity G. Another technique we can use to do project crashing is linear programming. You must be able to formulate an LP problem to crash a project. Initially, it may look complicated, but once you understand how it works, it becomes easy because you have a standard template for all the decision variables, the objective function, and the constraints. If you learn these by heart, you only have to reproduce them with the specific values for the project you are working with. Here we go with the different templates. The first one is for the decision variables. Xi is the earliest finish time for activity I. You also have Yj as the number of time periods activity J is crashed. Remember, you have to define these clearly for your specific problem and write it down in full. See page 101 in the study guide for an example of how to write the definitions of the decision variables. The second template is for the objective function. You are always minimizing the crash cost. The function itself consists only of yj terms with the coefficients, the crash cost per week for activity j. See page 101 in the study guide for an example of an objective function. Now we get to the templates for the constraints. We have 4 different types of constraints, namely crash time constraints, project constraints, network constraints, and the non-negativity constraint. The crash time constraints we write as yj less than or equal to the difference between the normal time and the crash time for activity j. In the table on page 100 of the study guide, you see that the normal time for activity A is 7 days and the crash time for activity A is 4 days. So the difference is 3 days, and we write a constraint as YA less than or equal to 3, as on page 101. Do you see it? Similarly, you write the crash time constraints for activities B, C, D, and E. Next, we have the project constraints. Set X start equal to 0 and X finish to less than or equal to the project deadline. In the example on page 101 of the study guide, X finish is less than or equal to 10 days. Please note that the constraint X start is equal to 0 was omitted in the example. You have to add it. Now we come to the constraints describing the network. Every activity will have 1 constraint for each of its predecessors. So if an activity has 2 predecessors, it will result in 2 network constraints. In our example in the study guide, activity E has 2 predecessors. All the other activities only have 1 predecessor. So we will have 1 network constraint for activities A, B, C, and D, and 2 network constraints for activity E. A total of 6 network constraints. The template for the network constraints is the earliest finish time is greater than or equal to the earliest finish time for the predecessor plus the activity time. Remember, we have defined the earliest finish time as the decision variable x and y as the time saved by crashing. So the activity time will be given by the normal activity time minus y. Let's look at activity A in our example in the study guide. A has a normal activity time of 7 days and its predecessor is start. So the one network constraint for activity A will be xA is greater than or equal to x start plus 7 minus yA. Do you see that in the middle of page 101? For activity B, we have a normal activity time of 3 days and its predecessor is A. So the one network constraint for activity B will be xB is greater than or equal to xA plus 3 minus yB. Continue to write down the network constraints for activities C and D as well. For activity E, we have a normal activity time of 2 days and its two predecessors are B and D. So the two network constraints for activity E will be xE is greater than or equal to xB plus 2 minus yE and xE is greater than or equal to xD plus 2 minus yE. That was easy, don't you agree? The final network constraint is the one indicating that the project is finished when activity E is finished. We write X finish is greater than or equal to XE. Finally, we have to add the non-negativity constraint, which we write as XI YJ is greater than or equal to 0. And we are done. If you want to solve this LP, remember that you have to rewrite the network constraints so that you only have a constant value, the normal activity time, on the right-hand side of the network constraint. On page 587 in the 10th edition or page 502 in the 11th edition of Rendersteen and Hannah, you can see how this is done. A remark to conclude. You must be able to interpret the solution to the LP as shown on page 588 in the 10th edition or page 503 in the 11th edition of Rendersteen and Hannah. This brings us to the end of the podcast on project crashing.